There was a paper published in the JCO recently by Axel Grothe et al., and it was presented at ASCO the year before out of the Bright Tumor Registry, looking at the issue of continuation of bevacizumab and metastatic disease on progression and switching chemotherapy. Pretty controversial. Now that we actually have the paper and there are a couple of editorials there, can you kind of review what was seen there and what the different perspectives, including yours, are on this?
So the Bright Registry was set up to be able to follow patients who got bevacizumab in the first line setting and to follow their experience. The primary goal was to try to define rare toxicity, so the cardiovascular issues and wound healing and so forth, because they're pretty infrequent. Unless you really looked at thousands of patients, you wouldn't be able to estimate what the real rate of the problem was or any contributing factors that may have predisposed the patient. In addition, they gathered some data related to efficacy or outcome. With that, one of the findings was that patients who continued bevacizumab past what would be called progression did better. I think this conclusion gets to be very complicated, but I think the finding that some people do better is consistent with two phenomena. One is that those patients who are predisposed to have better biology and have more indolent disease will progress more slowly and they'll look better. And if you just continue any treatment, there will be a correlation to how long they're on treatment and amount of drug. The second is that specifically additional bevacizumab past initial progression is beneficial. And my favorite is to actually merge the two, which is to say that the data are consistent with both approaches. That is, it's consistent purely with patient selection, and it's consistent with a bevacizumab effect, and it might be that bevacizumab is actually working best in those patients who have more indolent disease where their chance of benefit is increased. It also emphasizes how what we call progression in a clinical trial may not be the same as what we use in clinical practice. On a protocol, we need to be bound to use a common definition of progression. But in the clinic, if a patient has relatively incremental progression over the course of a year or two, while technically their measurements may meet a RECIST criteria for progression, that rate of progression may be slow enough that the clinician would say the patient's truly benefiting, and we should continue to use best clinical judgment about how to manage that patient. And continuing one part of a regimen and rotating, swapping, or adjusting the other pieces of a regimen, it's not novel or unusual. And I think this provides some data to elevate that discussion.